This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Ads from the Hump Day crew, and here's another one of our podcasts. Enjoy. We were told there were no sightings of our next guest, as she was last seen to be captured by the collector of the UFO doggies and taken to the Andromeda galaxy.
We were still determined to find her, so we camped out in Dante's Cove, dived into an ocean of bubbles galore, and found ourselves washed up on the coast of Copacabana.
We even survived a tornado warning and sweated through some hot summer days, and in truth, be told, the latter was the lesser evil. That was because we had to battle 18 of the local Icemen with different styles of kung fu just to find some sort of common ground.
And let me call you sweetheart, Ads, as you refused to swap and stuck with me even when we were due south for home. But on our way, we followed a paper trail, and like Dorothy to Oz, we landed a reunion with our next guest. So it is with great pleasure that I welcome to the show, that is Queer as Folk, the Hump Day crew, Miss Taya Gell. Hello.
Wow, you went through that whole journey.
We did, actually. It was so hard, Taya, you have no idea.
Just to find you.
Yeah, it sounds it. Wow, that's awesome.
Is it cold over there in Vancouver at the moment?
No, actually, we had a very bright, crisp day here on Vancouver Island. I don't know what the weather's like in Vancouver, but it was really nice and sunny here in Victoria. There's a Victoria in Melbourne, isn't there?
That's actually the state that we're in.
Victoria?
Victoria's the state and Melbourne's the city.
Okay, Melbourne is in Victoria.
Melbourne's the capital of Victoria.
Right, okay, good. I knew I had it somewhere there.
Fantastic.
It's the same way here in Canada. They're like, oh, do you live on Victoria Island? No, it's Victoria on Vancouver Island.
I wanted to start off about talking about your role as Lindsay from Queer as Folk. You've always believed that there was a fine line between gay, straight and bisexual, and that love is simply love. How has Queer as Folk changed you as a person?
Queer as Folk has changed me in many ways and on many different levels. Professionally, it was sort of the greatest television role I've ever played. Personally, I was able to invest a great deal of myself in the character of Lindsay. Socially, politically, it gave me a voice to speak on behalf of equality and gay rights all over the world. And I think in terms of, you know, my life in general, it brought me friends and new beautiful strangers from places that I would never have imagined I would have met. It's been a gift of a job, and I've always been and continue to be and will be always grateful for that role and for that show.
And that's one thing we've noticed as we've been talking to the cast members, how close you all are, that you are really true friends off the screen.
Definitely, definitely. I try to keep in touch with most of the cast members of Queer as Folk. I just recently saw Michelle Clooney. She actually came to Victoria to participate in a fundraiser for a new theater company I'm involved with here, and there she was, right here in my home, and as if we had, you know, we haven't been apart.
We spoke to Michelle a couple of days ago, and we've heard so much about the instant natural comfort the two of you had with each other when you first met. Did you feel like you'd known her your entire life?
There was a sense of that. That is true, indeed. She was the first to always recognize the reincarnation influences of our friendship, in the sense that she really truly believed that, and still does, that we were, you know, lovers in a past life. So I tend to believe her, since the connection was so strong and so immediate.
I was also intrigued, being a stage performer myself, I've had to practice the good old stage kisses before you actually do it on the night, and I believe you two actually got together in a hotel to practice before shooting.
Yeah, you know, in retrospect, I you know, it sounds like, wow, we sure got intimate fast, but, love at first sight, you know, it really was that simple for us. And I think that's what that actual special sense of intimacy was what made our relationship come alive so vibrantly on screen, on camera.
And talking about Lindsay and Melanie, when you first read the script, did you have the choice of going for either role and you chose Lindsay?
No, I never had a choice. That was the role that they were interested in seeing me for, so that was the role I concentrated on. And it was great. It was like, it was so enjoyable to read that script, the pilot script, when I was preparing for my audition. It felt so natural.
And how close are Taya and Lindsay?
Very, very similar. I'm trying to get back to her again. I think she is the very core of me on an emotional level and on a sort of a behavioral level. So I remember her. Her simplicity and her, very loyal sense of duty to her family and to justice and to, staying passionate about her sexuality as well as her artistic expression and creativity. And I really admired her for that. And I feel playing her brought out all those, very intense, feelings for myself.
Taya, one thing I found out recently was about yourself. I've been a fan of Queer as Folk for years, but this, I actually didn't know this about you. I read that your first great love was actually a woman who happened to be one of your teachers at school.
Yes.
And the funny thing was, you went to a conservative, strict private girls' school, which I went to as well, and my first beau was actually my music teacher, not my English.
Oh, yeah, isn't that fascinating?
It is, and I went through the same thing, the traditional aspects of the school, it didn't allow me to sort of explore that because it was actually a Catholic school as well.
Yes.
So I wasn't allowed to explore that. Did you, how was it, how did you deal with that? Because being young and, having these feelings to be attracted to the same sex, especially of someone who is an authority figure in your life, how did you sort of cope with that?
It was a struggle, a great struggle for me. Because the feelings were so completely and absolutely, totally grand. And there didn't seem to be much of an outlet for me, much of a way to voice my feelings. So I found myself, going through a lot of pain. And carrying that with me, but thank God, I was blessed with an artistic and creative opportunity to finally bring those ordeals that I had been struggling with all those years in my adolescence.
When you were in high school, did you actually have anyone you could talk to about it, or
I had to keep it to myself actually because. There were no counselors or anything like this in the school that I attended. It was an Anglican school and all girls and a day school, but also a boarding school both. And I suddenly briefly talked about it with my mother, which I don't know was the best or not the best thing to have done, but I did confess my love to Miss Tate.
Miss Tate, is that her name now?
And she listened. I at least was listened to.
Are you still in touch with Miss Tate?
No, I'm not. I went through a crazy period of obsessing for a few years throughout university and sending her notes and so on and so forth, but I never got any response.
So then Queer as Folk would have been, I guess, in a form of therapy for you, was it?
On one level, yes, you could say it was. Yeah, I think acting is a form of therapy for actors sometimes. So it's definitely a saving grace that, the world of art.
If you were to run into Miss Tate today, what would you say to her?
I saw you on the bridge in Stanley Park. Did you see me? Yeah. Yeah.
That's how in-depth your conversation would be.
Oh, who knows?
The dichotomy between yourself and Lindsay, I think this was actually said at the Queer as Folk reunion lunch. Hal Sparks said that, you know, literally before you were rolling, you were like, yeah, 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 yeah. And when I said rolling, oh. You were like, you can't do that.
Well, I probably was doing that because Hal was making me go. I'm not that schizophrenic, actually. It was funny that he said that because maybe he caught me on an odd day, but I'm actually quite reclusive.
Throughout the 5 seasons of Queer as Folk, were there any scenes that you really enjoyed shooting?
I really enjoyed shooting the scene. I can't remember what season or even what episode it was, but I'm sitting on a white chair in Brian's loft, holding Gus, and he's getting all excited and ready to take off and join this new job in New York, and you know, and leave, you know, abandon his son, et cetera, et cetera. And and I confront him, and I come into his loft, and I don't know. There was something about that scene that my, you know, shirt, you know, or my hair was right that day or something. You know, things happened well. And I always enjoyed working with the baby. That was something very grounding for me.
Was it always the same baby, or was there several babies and you just had the happiest one on the day?
Oh, there were several twins of babies. We had quite a few at Tiffany and Amber, and then, of course, one of those twins passed away in our first season.
Oh, no.
And then we had Keegan and Logan Hoover, who went on to feature in some huge action-packed film. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but, you know, it's fun to see the babies you've worked with grow up.
Yeah.
On, you know, on screen. like your own children, your own real children. And of course, you know, the wedding. I love that whole episode between Melanie and Lindsay getting, you know, the whole wedding episode. You know, that was pretty memorable, you know, and historic.
Michelle actually said, outside of Queer as Folk, you both used to catch up over bourbon, you know, go in a loft, rollerblading around, and you used to sing silly songs of Bob Dylan. Can you give us a demo tale?
Oh my God! She was always the better singer.
We heard you're quite a good singer yourself.
Oh, you know what? I'm taking, I'm very gently, very slowly getting my voice vocalized again. I'm taking actually vocal classes, vocal coaching with David Corey from, he's the lead vocal coach for American Idol.
Wow.
Oh, fantastic.
And really, discovered Leon Lewis and all this sort of stuff, right? So he's pretty phenomenal. If you YouTube him, you see him, you know, practically transform, you know, people's voices, like, you know, overnight. You know, it's magical. And he's been quite a big influence on me. So I'm just very, very, very vulnerable with my voice right now. So because it is quite a process to delve into when you are, awakening your voice again.
There's been little mentions of possibly releasing an album one day. Do you think that'll happen?
You know what? I have to record one song. Like, before I have to get one thing done, which is I'm going to be recording a new version of Willie Nelson's Crazy with his son Lucas Nelson playing, his son has Willie Nelson's son has not done a version of Crazy before, so this will be Willie Nelson's son's first version of Crazy with me singing in it, along with Chuck Lavelle, the keyboardist from the Rolling Stones. So this is being recorded in July, which I'm terribly, like, you know, tremulous about, because, you know, this is like a huge, big step in terms of, you know, let's, you know, talk about, you know, opening my voice. Is like I'm going to have to really, you know, open every part of me for this session. So, it's going to be quite the session.
Well, singing can be quite a private thing, Taya, so bringing it to the public must be quite confronting.
But I have to do it. There's no other choice. This has been presented to me. This is going to actually be one of the songs for an independent film I did for a wonderful and brilliant Australian filmmaker by the name of Frank Howson, who cast Guy Pearce in his first three films in Australia, and this is a new film of his, and it is also actually starring the late great Charles Bid Tingwell.
He just passed away a couple of days ago.
To be part of it, yes.
Now, another film that I've had the honour of seeing you in was Mulligans. It was part of the Melbourne Queer Film Festival that was on just a couple of months ago here, and I didn't realise you were in it until I'm sitting in the cinema, and there you were. Which was another gay-themed movie, obviously, but you were stuck with a gay husband and a son with a gay best friend who ended up hooking up. But it was a very emotional role for you, and you're amazing in it. Well, tell us a little bit about your experiences shooting that film.
Oh, thank you very much. That's nice that you bring it up. It was sort of the biggest film role I shot, a couple of years ago. So, I'm really, I'm really happy that it's done so well, and it has been playing, in lots of festivals, and it's been really received very warmly, I'm really. I wasn't sure if it would or would have been. It was a first feature for Chip Hale, the director, and of course Charlie David stars in it and wrote it and produced it, and it was a low budget, and so anything could go wrong, right? But it all went right.
But you had a nice in-depth character who, first of all, was just lighthearted and joking about the being gay and that type of thing, and then by the end, your character had to deal with that in a big way.
Yes, yeah, I remember that day we shot that. It was it was grueling.
I've been on set with other actors when they've had to do those big emotional scenes. It's not just you sit there, you have a bit of a cry, and then you go back to your van and chill out for the rest of the day. It really does take a lot out of you, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it does. It does. I had one of those days on a set that I'm working on now for the Sci-Fi Channel called this wonderful miniseries called Riverworld, and based on the Philip Jose Farmer novels, sci-fi novels, a while back, it was a day from hell. It was like my toes cramped up. I had those muscle spasms.
Yep. Aww.
I had belly ache. I had a headache. I had to be tied up in this very nun-like habit type painted blue cloaked outfit because I play an alien creature type queen woman, and I was stuck in a little trailer with those little tiny toilet cubicles.
Oh no. Dear.
Very poorly sanitized sink nozzles.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just one of those ugly days, and then I had to be all mysterious and beautiful and magnetic in front of the camera. Never have guessed, huh?
A lot of people assume with acting the hardest thing is actually memorizing the lines, but that's actually the easiest thing to do.
Memorizing lines is funny because sometimes it is and it isn't. I was trying to memorize a Shakespearean sonnet the other day, and I couldn't for the life of me get it down. So, but neither could many of the other performers who were a part of the fundraiser, part of the event. But, Duncan Regier, he quite a well-known, wonderful actor, he had it down pat. So I felt a little guilty, but but that was funny because usually my dialogue and you know my lines for, I think I've gotten used to learning lines for television and film, and I think this was a stage event, and it's been a couple of years since I've been on stage, so I think I was a little bit more shaky. but yeah, no, it's always good to get the lines out of the way. They can mess you up big time.
And coming up for you, apart from your singing debut, what other projects have you got for the rest of the year?
Well, I'm going to finish this one up, this sci-fi piece, till the end of May. And then I'm going to go head back to Los Angeles, and I'm going to complete a couple of you know short films that I've been slated to be part of. And I am also just working on a, you know, musical cabaret show and trying to, you know, deal with sort of a new approach to my life.
So yeah. One thing I noticed is you were born and raised in Vancouver and then you moved to L.A. Was it a big contrast moving to such a big city from Vancouver?
Yes. Oh my God! In the first year, I spiraled. You know, I got very, very lost indeed, and got caught up in a whirlwind of, things that just didn't make any sense, and I lost my perspective. And but now I'm actually I'm in a new place altogether, and have found and have surrounded myself with the most beautiful people I've ever met in my life. So it turned a complete, you know, I don't know, 180 or yeah. And I can't imagine really wanting to live anywhere else other than, you know, California.
That's a nice little singing segue there you have there, Tam.
But yeah, that's all I'll give you.
Thanks.
I'll just tease you.
We'll take what we can get.
Yeah, sorry. Next time, okay.
We'll hold you to that. Okay. One thing I noticed is you're very, very knowledgeable about acting, about theatre, about life. And over the past, say, since Careers Work Festival, say 2000, over the past 9 years, I've noticed you came out to be very... You started off sort of as naive, and you came out to be very wise and knowledgeable, and you had this beautiful energy about you. How have you sought that power within yourself?
Oh, that's very nice of you to say. That's really terrific. That's really great. Thank you so much. That's very wow. I'm quite awestruck that you've actually noticed that change in me, because I no one's really, you know, said it to me like that. So. Wow, that's great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Because I have changed a lot, and it did happen, you know, like just like that, you know. So, but you know, it's interesting. It's just, I think it's just I went through accepting everything that came my way, and with no regrets. I've decided to live life. You know, and there comes a lot of sacrifice with that, in a kind of a, I guess sort of in a sort of a another in an otherworldly realm way fashion. But there are so many, you know, gifts and benefits and joys and wonders that perhaps I never would have been able to have had in my life if I hadn't have. You know, accepted life, you know, with open arms, right? So I'm thinking as I look back that I'm glad I did, because I think that's what's contributed to sort of a more, you know, better understanding of reality.
Mm.
Yeah, reality. Because it sucks.
It does.
Hard. It's harsh. You know, reality is harsh. It really is. But you have to. You really have to. You know, in order to, you know, to reap the rewards. You know, facing it, you know, is the only way, right? Deep underground, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is that what inspires you to do your work, rather than be, say, a chef or a plumber or something like that?
You know, I wish, you know, I was, you know, like, I love, who's that, you know, wonderful Irish actor? He's, you know, my beautiful Andret. He was a gardener for, you know, several years, you know, just to know what it was to be a gardener.
Yes.
So I sometimes wish I could do that, but the need to you know, be you know, be heard is tantamount, I guess, in my life. So I guess I can't. It's a magnet. It's like a mirror pulling me in. I you know, I'll have to do it. I have to find a way. I have to keep finding a way, even if it's, you know, even if it's immobilizing at times, you know. But that's the struggle, right? That's, again, it's always a search. It's always a struggle, but, you know. Michelle and I talk a lot about, she's actually a really good actress to, you know, spitball ideas off of.
Okay. Yeah, we spoke to her a couple of days ago. She seems very, very creative.
Yeah, we want to do something where we were thinking of doing a play maybe next year together. We're trying to get something together because we want to do something valuable again.
Going back to, you were saying stuff about you have this desire to be heard and to sort of, you know, get a message across. Is it hard to sort of approach that constantly when you really don't know what to expect? You kind of go into it with a bit of naivety and vulnerability, don't you?
Yes, yeah, you do. Yeah, and that's the trick, you know, that's the challenge, right? It's you know, it's like you have to be fearless in the, you know, in the true sense of the word, you know, and you have to look your fellow actor in the eye. You can't, you know, you have to find a way to trust that, you know, lifting the barriers are going to be okay, that you know, someone will love you on the other side. And for the most part, you know, if you can do that, it works. You know, it's always a better thing. It's always a better time.
And although your journey is definitely nowhere near its end, you have been honoured in several places, including you received something from the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. You were a recipient of their National Leadership Award a while back.
Yeah.
What do awards like that mean? Are they the thank you for all the hard work that you put in?
Yes, I think so. I've always been you know, so loved, you know, in the community, and I have such great memories of those times, and it was on those occasions and at those forums that taught me to speak. To start to be vocal, and I'm very, you know, I'm hoping that I can, you know, always be welcomed by the LGBT community. I hope I will never lose my loyal buddies there. Yeah.
Because what I'm guessing you might not have imagined before Queer as Folk, but as Queer as Folk progressed, and I believe after Series 1 it really became obvious that you weren't just a performer for a GLBTI show, but you're actually becoming a role model as well, weren't you?
Well, it's sort of, I think the show was such a landmark that I think that was part of the, you know, each character was a role model, you know, in the show. So we, the actors, you know, of course, inhabited those characters. So it, you know, it had, you know, an effect upon us, and a butterfly effect. You know, we randomly became, you know, what we, you know, what we had to live up to in our characters. So, and in each and every one of us, I believe, has, I mean, for the most part, you know, lived up to the ideal of that in his or her, you know, own way, I guess.
You've come a long way from Scrooge in Christmas Carol in elementary school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. What's this?
Humbug.
Yeah, humbug.
We want to lighten things up as we come to an end. We have a game that we like to play with each of our guests, and it's called 101 Questions. Now, we're not going to ask you all 101 questions. We're going to let you choose the numbers between 1 and 101. So give us a number, Taya.
Oh, God. Okay, 5.
Number 5. What is the most humiliating moment of your life?
Oh, man! Oh man, why did I have to pick that?
We didn't even want to ask you that one. You chose it.
I did a video blog, and for Kathy DeVono, and I, my armpits are sweating, and I was really humiliated by that.
Oh no!
Yeah, I know, it was like, you know, there was no editing of that. There was no, you know, no GTI or GPV or whatever, you know, laser, you know, pictorial therapy or, you know, surgery they could do for me. My armpits just schwitzed up a storm.
We're actually chatting to Kathy in a couple of weeks, so we might get that footage.
Yeah, okay, okay. Sorry, Kathy. No, she's amazing. I love talking, but I hated sweating.
Oh dear. Okay, give us another number between 1 and 101.
13.
Who was the first gay person you ever met? You're picking the good ones today, Tam.
She was super gay. Super gay and merry.
Oh, you're referring to Mrs. Tate, are you?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, was Mrs. Tate gay?
She was gay to me.
Oh. Okay.
Got you.
Yep. I got you.
We understand. Okay, final question.
In your dreams.
Exactly. Just an alternate reality. Exactly. You've been doing too much sci-fi stuff.
Bring it on.
One last question between 1 and 101.
101.
If you were to open a gay bar, what would you call it?
The Wolf Eatery Inn.
The Wolf Eatery. Oh, I think we're going to have to steal that, no?
Yeah. Taya, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you on our show.
So great talking to you both. Thank you so much.
If you're ever in Australia, hit us up and we'd love to have you come join us in the studio.
I totally will. I can't wait to meet you both.
Fantastic.
Thank you for your insightful questions.
And we look forward to playing your new song later this year on our radio station.
What? I will. You know, once I get a copy of Crazy, I will send it to you guys.
Fantastic. We'd love to play.
Oh, okay. Right on, man. All right. Okay, woman. Right on.
So when is it coming out again?
Well, I'm recording it in July, so pretty much, like, it'll be probably available by, like, end of July, top of August.
Fantastic. We look forward to it. We're really excited.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, you guys.
Good luck and enjoy the experience.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, you too.
Okay, see ya.
Bye.
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 Hey, this is Ads from the Hump Day Crew. Thank you so much for listening to another one of our podcasts, and thank you for supporting the Hump Day Crew and Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.